Welcome back to another Yoth Assembly show with our host, Pastor Larry Scherer. Today, Larry will be teaching about places of safety and how it relates to Scripture in today's time. And now, Larry Scherer.
Greetings. This is Larry Scherer for Yoth Assembly. The topic today is places of safety. For those of us that are really awake, it is easy to see the world is closing in on us and becoming more dangerous every day. Extinction-level events are increasing. Famine, volcanoes, pandemics, earthquakes, now fireballs and meteorites and financial collapse, wars, geoengineering, creating toxic environment. The list goes on and on. All these things are the world's punishment for sin. It's the curses that we have incurred because of the sins. Deuteronomy 28 on steroids. Yet for those of us that believe, it is actually our hope. Matthew 24, it says, when you see all these things coming, know that our redemption draws near. It's even at the door. Verse 33 of Matthew 24. And verse 22, it says, and if he does not intervene, no flesh would be saved alive. Now, do we believe that? That if we are watching, we should be. Let's go to Luke, and we'll read verses 21 through, Luke 21, and we'll read verses 28 through 36. This is the same as the Olivet prophecy, the same, let's say, factors or predictions and so on that are in Luke 21 and Mark 13 and Matthew 24. But we'll be here now, and starting in verse 28, it says, and when these matters begin to take place, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. So, as I've already said, it's our hope. It's the world's punishment. And he spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all these things. When they have already budded, observe, you shall know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these matters take place, know that the reign of Elohim is near. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall by no means pass away till all shall have taken place. Heaven and earth shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down by gluttony and drunkenness and worries of this life, and the day come upon you suddenly. Well, I think that's what's happening now. People are not awake. People are just acting like there's nothing happening out there. So they're seeking pleasure, they're seeking escape, and it will come on them suddenly, just like in the days of Noah. People were, it says in the different Olivet prophecies, they were eating and drinking and marrying and so on and so on. And until the day that it started to rain, and then, whoops. For it shall come as a snare on all those dwelling on the face of the earth. Watch then at all times, and pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things to take place, and stand before the Son of Man. So it says watch. Watch. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And if we really are watching, then we won't be caught unawares. We should have a sense of urgency about what's going on, a sense of not be traumatized, but a sense of urgency, an immediate feeling that things aren't right. Now, the operative word there that I want to concentrate on is a way to escape. Now, if there was not a way to escape, it wouldn't say that. It says worthy to escape. So what does it mean, worthy to escape? As we go through this lesson, a lot of the verses that I talk about will explain what it means to be worthy to escape. Remember, Scripture interpret Scripture. Now, there were events that happened in the past and that are going to happen in the future, and some of these things are ongoing. But in the past, places of safety, historically, what can we look at? Well, we can look at the Exodus. When ancient Israel was delivered, Moses fled into the wilderness after he killed the Egyptian. Joseph and Mary were told by the messenger to flee into Egypt to keep Yeshua safe. When persecution came on the First Assembly congregation in Jerusalem and became so severe, they went into diaspora for over 1,200 years, traveling throughout Europe and other countries, witnessing the Sabbath and a set of park days. This is all documented very well in a book called, by Duggar and Dodd, called The True History of the True Church. Now let's look at scriptures of deliverance that right now are either ongoing or yet to be fulfilled. We have a promise here now in Revelation 3:10. It says in verse 10, "Because you have guarded my word of endurance," in other words, patiently kept Torah, kept the commandments, obeyed the word in a way that is pleasing to Yah, "which shall come upon all the world to try them who dwell on the earth." So he's going to keep us from that hour of trial. He's going to protect us. That's a promise. We're in that time right now. There's a lot of persecution going on in the world where we believe, as those in the way, that people are being imprisoned, people are being executed, people are being ostracized in so many ways. It's just horrible what's happening. Okay, so let's go now to Proverbs 22 and verse 3 and read what that says. It says here, "A clever one foresees," in the King James it says, "a wise one," or "a prudent one foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple go on and are punished." In other words, when you see the evil coming, when you see all these warnings that we're talking about now, when you get in the Olivet prophecy and you see all these things being fulfilled, and you can anticipate, the news is filled with about what is in process, what's going to happen, financial collapse and various laws and different things that are really crowding or challenging our beliefs in so many ways. Well, how do you hide yourself? Do you go to the mountains? Well, there's some verses that say that. I tried that for 2 months, and it's very, very hard. If you're not in very good physical shape and are really well prepped, I don't suggest you do that. I spent 2 miserable months in the mountains. It just didn't work for me. So there's another way to hide yourself, and that is, we'll look at Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. And basically what that means is you get out of the system. I think that's very important. We have the ability to do that to a large extent. And so we read here in Revelation 18, in verses 4 and 5, it says, "I heard another voice from the heavens saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues." Well, we've got plagues all over the place now. You've got bird flu, and you've got swine flu, and you've got, of course, COVID and a lot of other things. And so we're told to come out of her. In other words, don't be a part of the society. Don't expose yourself to these things. Because her sins have piled up to reach the heavens, and Elohim remembered her unrighteousness. So we're told to come out of the world. So how do we do that? Well, you have to understand what worldliness is. In other words, if you're coming out of the world, you have to educate yourself. It says watch and pray. That, to me, means no vaccines, no politics, stop worldliness. Don't do what the rest of the world is doing. I remember back in my days in Worldwide, there was an evangelist who said something, I think, very wise. He says, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're probably doing the wrong thing. So it also means to me, or you can have your own idea, ask yourself, well, what does it mean to really come out of the world? You send your kids to, and I know it's difficult, people have to work and so on. I'd say take your kids out of school, homeschool, and stay out of the matrix. So you're having this thing now called a digital ID. So everybody's going to have an ID number. You're going to be marked, and that's going to lead into the mark of the beast, of course. So I think the bottom line to this is that all these problems and all these things are, they're material things, they're physical things. And so we should avoid them as much as possible, not participate in those things. You cannot solve the material problems, the physical problems of this world, because they're spiritual. And so we have to remember that. We have to do what's spiritual. We have to live a righteous life. Let's go now to James 4 and talk a little bit more about coming out of the world. A lot of people don't understand this verse because they don't look up the root words. And they think that, let me just start to read it instead of trying to stutter through this. It says, where do fightings and strivings come out from among you? Do they not come from the pleasures that battle in your members? So self-indulgence, covetousness is idolatry. And so James is correcting them here and telling, look, don't get involved with these things, because these things are going to lead to your own demise, all right? You desire and you do not have. You murder and are jealous and unable to obtain. You strive and fight and you do not possess because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask in an evil way in order to spend it on yourself. So this is the problem with the people's attitude with human nature, is instead of being Yah-centered, they're self-centered, self-indulgence, covetousness. This goes on all the time. I watch people, and I'm amazed that they're still involved in all kinds of worldly activities, wrong kinds of movies, sports events, and all this sort of thing. So let's look at verse 4, which is greatly misunderstood. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore intends to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim. Well, you don't know what that means unless you actually go to the Greek. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop loving your neighbor. What it actually means is you get out of the matrix, out of the Babylonian system, the system of government, the education. Don't get involved in worldly pursuits. See, this is the problem even with people that call themselves believers. So let's go now and follow that thought. What does that mean? How do you apply that in your life? So let's go to Philippians now, 3, verses 18 through 21, and we'll see a little bit more about what it means to come out of the world, not get involved with the world, not do what the world is doing. Right now everybody's involved in politics. Politics won't solve the problems of this world. Man's had 6,000 years, and it's only gotten worse. All right, so we're going to read verses now 18 through 21. It says, for many of whom I have often told you, and now say to you, even weeping, walk as the enemies of the stake of Messiah. In other words, the world hates us. The world says all kinds of bad things about us, as we know. They're outlawing the things that we believe everywhere now. We're becoming amongst the the persecuted. Their end is destruction, and their mighty one is their stomach, and their esteem is in their shame. They mind earthly things. So gluttony, see, drunkenness, the things that the various places in the Olivet Prophecy. Don't join the drunkards. Don't join the party group. Don't get yourself involved in all of this obscenity and this perversion that's going on. Now, here's the key to the whole thing. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, Messiah, Yeshua, so, who shall change our lowly bodies to be conformed to his esteem, to the workings by which he is able even to bring all under his control. In other words, if you surrender, if you really give up and really focus on him, well, then he'll give us the strength to overcome the temptations and the pulls of this world. Citizenship is in heaven. Well, I'll tell you, I'm 80 years old and I have never voted. I came into the belief when I was in my, I think like I was only 21, and I started being taught these things. So if we were immersed properly, we entered into a covenant with Yeshua. We cast our vote then. He is our king, and we're to help him to bring his kingdom here, and also to campaign for him by witnessing and being and having good works. So that's very important that we do that. What are we of? In other words, what do we belong to? Are we a Democrat? Are we a Republican? Honestly, we shouldn't be any of those things. I guess I'm rubbing some people the wrong way. But nonetheless, we should be involved in pursuing righteousness and preparing ourselves as the bride of Messiah. So I want to go now to Proverbs. We're going to read verse 18:10. It's a very interesting verse. Has a very interesting, let's say, history and our time now. It says, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Well, hearing various stories about 9/11, they were fleeing, they were running, they were all in a panic. And a bunch of people ran into a church, and they were safe there. And the top of the church, there was a marquee, and it had that verse, that that Yahweh's name is a place of safety. Well, indeed it is. If he is our Savior, our Redeemer, if we claim his name, if we believe in him and do what he says, then that does make us safe. That gives us some protection there. So let's go now to Psalms 91, and we'll read some verses out of Psalms 91. Now, I would suggest everybody read the entirety of Psalms 91, because it has a lot of wonderful verses that talk about basically a place of safety, basically a refuge for us be under his protection. So let's see what Psalms 91. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read a few inspiring key verses. Verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, he is saying, Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim, in whom I trust. So there we go. You know, who do you trust? What do you believe? Are you looking for a physical solution in this world? Are you looking for something that is going to be a short-term fix for really long-term problems? Verse 10, it says, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near you through your tent. Well, we sure need that today. Verse 14, because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. Oh, the power of his name. How meaningful and how wonderful that is. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking refuge in his name and all that that represents.
Thank you for listening to another YAHS Assembly broadcast brought to you by YAHS Assembly at www.yahsassembly.org. Please stand by for part 2 of Places of Safety by Larry Scherer.